Day 504, Saturday, August 24th. Psalm 119, Part 1 of 3, Psalms 119, 1-176, NKJV. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart, when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes, O do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you, O let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth, do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul clings to the dust, revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me, teach me your statutes, make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness, strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth, your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law, indeed I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments which I love, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked, who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart, be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste, and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you, and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy, teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good, and do good, teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield, I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning, and cry for help I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness, they are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord, revive me, according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG Reading Plan states, "He massive alphabetic acrostic poem, that is Psalm 119, is the last of the apparent collection of psalms, starting with two other acrostic psalms, 111 and 112, thus framing the Egyptian Hallel, 113th, 118. Yet in a number of ways Psalm 119 is in a class unto itself. It is by far the longest of the psalms as well as the longest chapter in the Bible. More than a wisdom psalm providing instruction in how to live, it is an extensive love song to God about his law, as well as a plea for deliverance from oppressors. The author, who is now unknown, repeatedly declares his passionate devotion to God's law as a wise and reliable guide for life, and speaks of finding delight and spiritual strength in it in the midst of distress. In general, the law or Torah the psalmist extols refers to more than the first 5 books of the Bible classified as the Torah or law. Rather, this word more broadly means teaching, and includes all of God's revealed instruction in Old Testament scripture. And we today can even more broadly apply the term to the whole of the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, the entire written word of God. It should be obvious that the creation of this lengthy acrostic psalm was a major intellectual undertaking. While God specially inspired the authors of the psalms, as he did all the biblical writers, it is clear from the various styles within the psalms that he made use of their individual talents. And the author of Psalm 119 was no doubt a brilliant thinker. For each of the 22 consonants in the Hebrew language, the psalmist has composed an 8-verse paragraph called a strophe or stanza in poetic structure. Each of the 8 verses in a stanza begins with the same letter. Verses 18 begin with Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Verses 9 to 16 begin with Beth, the second letter in the alphabet, and so on through the remainder of the alphabet. Given this construction, it is likely the poet intended his work to be memorized. Can you imagine memorizing all 176 verses of this psalm? The acrostic device appears in other psalms, 25th, 34th, 37th, 111th, 112th, 145th, where it also serves as a memory aid. Psalm 119 uses 8 different words to designate God's revealed instruction to humankind, Torah, Edot, Pikudi, precepts, M law, testimonies, also more broadly meaning instruction. Reiterations of God's standards, rendered statutes in the NIV, injunctions or imposed rules, inscribed enacted laws, decrees, hukkim statutes niv, mitzvot commandments or constitutional orders, commands, mishpat judgments im, dabar word, imra word, judicial rules for living, laws and ordinances in the NIV, sometimes here in the sense of law, sometimes of promise saying, sometimes here in the sense of law, but more often of promise. these various terms the psalmist distributes throughout the 22 stanzas using all 8 in he, wa, heth, yod, kaf, pe, never using less than 6, employing a different order in each stanza. Zondervan NIV Study Bible, note on Psalm 119. As another commentary points out regarding this psalm, students disagree on this, but it appears that every verse contains a direct mention of God's word except 7 verses 3, 37, 84, 90, 121, 122, and 132. If you count ways from Hebrew derech as a synonym for God's word, then you can eliminate verses 3 and 37. The writer may have been meditating on Psalm 19, where David listed 6 names for the scriptures, 5 of which are found in 119th, Law, Testimony, Precept, Commandment, and Judgment. Some of the vocabulary of 19 is also found in 119, including perfect or blameless, taught pure, and righteousness, and meditate or meditation. Both compare the word of God to gold, 19:10, 119:72, 127. And honey 19:10 119:s 103, and in both there is an emphasis on keeping or obeying God's word. Warren Wiersbe, Be Exultant, Psalms 90:150, Introductory Notes on Psalm 119. This huge composition no doubt took a great deal of time, effort, and care to create. The Zondervan NIV Study Bible puts it well. The alphabetic acrostic form, especially one as elaborate as this, may appear arbitrary and artificial to a modern reader, as if the author merely selected a traditional form from the poet's workshop and then labored to fill it with pious sentences, but a sympathetic and reflective reading of this devotional will compel a more favorable judgment. The author had a theme that filled his soul, a theme as big as life, that ranged the length and breadth and height and depth of a person's walk with God. Nothing less than the use of the full power of language would suffice, and of that the alphabet was a most apt symbol. Note on Psalm 119. Commentator Wiersbe remarks on this unknown psalmist, whoever the author was, he is a good example for us to follow. For he had an intense hunger for holiness and a passionate desire to understand God's word in a deeper way. In all but 14 verses he addresses his words to the Lord personally, so this psalm is basically a combination of worship, prayer, praise, and admonition. The writer must have been a high-profile person because he mentioned the opposition of rulers VV 23:161, princes in KJV and NASB, a word that can refer to Gentile rulers or local Jewish tribal leaders NAK 3, and he also spoke to Kings V 46. In the psalm there are no references to a sanctuary, to sacrifices, or to a priestly ministry, perhaps indicating a time of apostasy or the period between the temple's destruction and reconstruction. The cast of characters includes the Lord God, a remnant of godly people in the nation VV 63, 74, 79, 120, etc., the psalmist and the ungodly people who despised him V 141, persecuted him VV 84 to 85, 98, 107, 109, 115, 121 to 122, etc., and wanted to destroy him V 95. The psalmist referred to them as the proud or the arrogant, VV 21:51, 69, 78, 85, 122. They were people who were born into the covenant but did not value the spiritual riches of that relationship. They disdained the law and openly disobeyed it. The writer was reproached by them VV 2223:39, 42, and suffered greatly from their false accusations VV 50 to 51, 61, 67, 69 to 71, 75, 78. Introductory Notes on Psalm 119. The same commentator goes on to explain his reasons for thinking the author may have been the prophet Jeremiah on the basis of the above criteria. Others have made the same identification, though David is more typically seen as the author. Whoever wrote it, Psalm 119 remains a powerful witness to us today. As Wiersbe comments, the basic theme of Psalm 119 is the practical use of the Word of God in the life of the believer. When you consider that the writer probably did not have a complete Old Testament, let alone a complete Bible, and probably not a personal copy of every scriptural scroll, this emphasis is both remarkable and important. Christian believers today personally own complete Bibles, yet how many of them say that they love God's Word and get up at night or early in the morning to read it and meditate on it? VV 55, 62, 147 to 148. How many Christian believers ignore the Old Testament scriptures or read the Old Testament in a careless and cursory manner? Yet here was a man who rejoiced in the Old Testament scripture, which was the only word of God he had, and considered God's word his food, V 103, and his greatest wealth. VV 14:72-127-162. His love for the Word of God puts today's believers to shame. If the psalmist with his limited knowledge and resources could live a godly and victorious life feeding on the Old Testament, how much more ought Christians today live for the Lord? After all, we have the entire Bible before us and 2 millennia of church history behind us, same notes. So true. And those professing Christians who argue that God's laws are obsolete, arbitrary and unnecessary, would have a hard time convincing the writer of this psalm of their position. Much less the great God who ultimately inspired this psalm to be written. As to the psalm's setting of persecution by enemy oppressors, we should all be able to identify with this element. For even if we have no obvious adversaries on a human level, all of God's people are at constant war with the unseen demonic spirit rulers of this world. See Ephesians 6:12. Concerning the arrangement of Psalm 119, apart from the obvious formal structure dictated by the chosen acrostic form, little need or can be said. It must be noted, however, that the first three and the last three verses were designed as introduction and conclusion to the whole. The former sets the tone of instruction in godly wisdom, the latter succinctly restates and summarizes the main themes. It may also be observed that the middle of the psalm has been marked by a similar three-verse introduction to the second half. For the rest, the thought meanders, turns back upon itself and repeats with various nuances. Zondervan, note on Psalm 119. As mentioned, the Aleph strophe or stanza verses 1-8 begins with an introduction to the rest of the psalm that explains that the way for a person to be blessed, to experience true happiness in life, is to be undefiled or blameless niv in the way he lives. To be blameless does not mean that one never sins, rather it means that one is beyond reproach, nothing can be held against him. This comes from always repenting when one sins, never failing to return to God and his ways. As is clear from the rest of the stanza verses 4-8, the poet himself is by no means perfect. After stating his knowledge of God's requirements of us, verse 4, he expresses the wish that his own ways were naturally directed to meet them, verse 5, implying that they were not. If his natural inclination were to obey God, then he wouldn't be ashamed when he looked into God's word, verse 6. Because the human heart is hostile toward God, Romans 8:7, and deceptively wicked, Jeremiah 17:9, the psalmist finds that God's law, like a mirror, reflects his inadequacies, James 1:24, Romans 3:20. As he learns to better follow God's righteous way, he will be able to praise God from an upright heart, verse 7. The author understands that in keeping God's law, his heart will move away from its selfish orientation toward the righteousness of God. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does, James 1:25 NIV. The stanza closes with the psalmist's intention to strive to obey God, praying for God's forgiveness that he will not be forsaken, Psalm 119:8, possibly hinting at his present suffering as mentioned later. Indeed, repentance always includes a resolve to follow God's laws. In the Beth strophe verses 9-16, the writer asks, how can a young man keep his way pure? Verse 8, Nivihi. Or in a general sense, how can we honor the promise we made to keep God's law? Some have thought young man to be a characterization of the author. This is possible, but others maintain that more likely it indicates instruction addressed to the young after the manner of the wisdom teachers. See Psalm 4:11, Proverbs 1:4, Ecclesiastes 11:9, Ecclesiastes 12:1, Zondervan NIV Study Bible, note on Psalm 119:9. While specific younger disciples could have been the intended audience, it may simply be that the psalm was designed for memorization by all the young people of the nation as part of their education. Of course, the psalmist was also preaching to himself. In his prayer to God, he was committing himself to God's way. In this stanza, he declares a number of things he will do to keep his life clean, giving us principles to apply in our own lives. The author states that a person determined to live a pure, obedient life will take heed, verse 9, and be mindful and aware of the context of life. God is the author of life, and his word is an instruction book for how life works, as well as how it doesn't. A wise individual will be conscious of and utilizing such a priceless resource so readily available. Such a person will also seek God with enthusiasm, wholeheartedly, verse 10, spending time in study, prayer, meditation. He will delight in God's word and let it capture his thoughts, verses 11:15-16. Verse 11 shows that God's word must be more to us than something that we read. It must be written on our hearts and minds. See Jeremiah 1:33, hidden, protected within us as valuable treasure. See Psalm 19. Furthermore, a committed person will willingly learn from God by approaching his studies with a teachable attitude. and he will discuss with others what he has learned from the law, verse 13. Yet the psalmist does not fail to acknowledge that his success ultimately depends not on his own efforts, but on what God will do. In addition to the things an individual must do in living a righteous life, the writer states here two things that God must do. First, God must motivate and empower him to keep him on track. Do not let me stray from your commands, verse 10 NIV. God will not take away an individual's free will and responsibility to choose to obey, but he will undertake loving surveillance and shepherding, helping his servant to perceive and aspire to the right way and follow it. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Where shall I go from your spirit? Your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Psalm 139:2-10. Second, God must teach him, verse 12. The author affirms the importance of God opening his understanding. He wanted to learn by studying God's word and putting it into practice. This does not preclude learning from other teachers, but God would be his primary instructor. Because God thoroughly knows each individual, he tailors the timing, the presentation, the aha experiences for all of his children, the pattern he established for parents in every age, see Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and realize again that rather than giving us minute direction in every action of our life, God gives us widely applicable principles through which we learn the how and why of living his way. By analogy, a wise teacher leads his students to understanding the lesson, not to merely reciting what they hear. Such understanding helps us to think and reason more clearly about our choices. We must always remember that we cannot succeed in living God's way on our own. We desperately need his intervening spiritual power and continuing instruction. In the Gimel Strophe verses 17-24, the psalmist continues the thought of God teaching him and first explicitly mentions his present trial. He needs God to open his mind to revelation from God's word, verse 18. He needs God's help to live, and to live by that word, verse 17. Commentator George Knight remarks on verse 17 that the key word in Psalm 119 is the word live. 4. The Torah, God is the living God. This living God offers his children his life, and that is not mere biological life. It is life in the spirit, to which physical death has nothing to say. The five books of the Pentateuch culminate at Deuteronomy 30:15-19, with God's word, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil." The passage then goes on to declare that life is bound up with love and with obedience to God's revealed commandments, statutes and ordinances. The Daily Study Bible Series, Psalms, Vol 2, note on Psalm 119:17-24, Psalm part of, end,